Good morning to you. Now, the Speaker of the Assembly, Mitchell McLaughlin, is hosting the first Women's Week programme at Parliament Buildings. Of course, International Women's Day is tomorrow, I believe. Let me speak to Mr. Speaker, Mitchell McLaughlin. Mr. McLaughlin, sir, good morning. How do we address you? Do we say Mitchell? Do we say Mr. McLaughlin? Do we say Mr. Speaker on a morning like this morning?
No, in the chamber you would say Mr. Speaker. On the phone you would say Mitchell. And I'd say Frank.
All right. But you're speaking very much as the Speaker today, as opposed to a representative of any political party or anything like that.
Exactly.
But this is important, isn't it, to have a week like you're having?
It is clearly very, very important. One of the main points I made when I was elected in January of last year is that the Assembly needs to respect and represent the community. And I think that particularly applies to the 51% of the population which are female. And I think it's just indefensible that only 20% of the members who've been elected to this Assembly since 98 have been women.
Do you know, are more standing this time round or not?
I believe that there may be more women candidates. What I won't know, and this we'll have to wait till the election results tell us, whether or not they have been selected in winnable seats, because I do think that some of the parties could certainly do more in terms of not just promoting women candidates, but promoting them into contests where they have a realistic opportunity to be elected.
Now, during the course of this week, there's a whole series of events happening. What are you spotlighting?
Well, I mean, they're all, I think, very important events, but we have women who are going to address, there's going to be a panel discussion, for instance, this afternoon with Catherine Stone, OB, former Victims Commissioner, Judith Gillespie, CB, former Deputy Chief Constable of the PSNA, and Eileen Evanson, very well known, academic, who has provided excellent service in terms of social policy issues. And then during the week itself for the Assembly, there is the launch of the Women's Caucus. That is a brand new development. And the appointment of an advisory panel on gender-sensitive issues for the Speaker. That will be for my successor. So I think we are starting to kind of move in the right direction. We've also brought in women to speak about the role of being in boards of governors and board directors in the public and the private sector during the course of the week. So given exemplars of the contribution that women can make and pointing in the direction of how we can do more.
I'm really interested in the one on Wednesday, why most media commentators are still male and how can this be addressed. I was thinking about that this morning. Whenever we have spokespeople on here, is it mainly males that represent every agency, group, gathering, or indeed a perspective on life? I get the impression it's nearly 50-50.
Well, I don't think it would be quite as balanced as that. I wish it were. But there is the question of that disadvantage or imbalance across every sphere of our life. And as you have rightly focused on Wednesday, we're looking at the media, because I do think the media themselves need to question their own approach to these matters. Clearly, there are there are women in the media and very, very prominent. That can be true of every sector. The question is it actually representative of our society? And I think in many instances, no.
And you will always go back, needless to say, to politics and representation in the public field. One thing that doesn't even need discussed here between you and I is the ability of women. So why are they still disadvantaged or seem to be disadvantaged in 2016?
Well, it's said that men will take a chance. They may exaggerate their abilities, whereas women are much more realistic and honest, and may in fact feel that that they don't want to be in a position of competing on the basis of what might be a bombastic claim. I think that's one of the explanations, but I do think that there's very deep-seated cultural kind of issues, particularly in a country like Ireland, north and south. I think that there's undoubtedly a glass ceiling, and I suspect that lifestyle choices are now becoming available that were not even considered in past generations. So I do think it's a changing scenario, but I don't think anyone can be complacent I mean, I've written to all of the political parties to be mindful of the imbalance. We've got 23 women out of 108 MLAs at the present time, but we do have our first ever female First Minister. I think that is progress, but it's a momentum that has to be built upon and maximised, and we can only do that by ensuring that there are more female members of MLAs in the future. And I'm challenging the parties to address that issue.
Yeah, I'm just trying to rack my brains. Have we even had a deputy speaker who was female filling in for any of the speakers so far?
No, and again, my position is that there is a speaker elected from amongst our number, and the procedures for that election will change as a result of legislation that has been passed through the Assembly. But I have argued that the team of Speaker and Deputy Speakers should be on a 50-50 basis going forward, and I've already presented that option in my response to the reform of the structures of the Assembly.
Yeah, you're hanging up whatever politicians hang up this time round. Will you miss it yourself, Mitchell?
Of course I'll miss it, but I'm sure I will survive. It's been a long time involved in politics. It'll be 50 years this Easter, and I think it's time to step aside and make room for some younger talent, because there's any amount of it out there.
And as Speaker, you know, you obviously have that additional little bit of power when they get a bit ratty down in the Assembly. Do you sense that element of I'm in control here? Is there a feel good with that?
Well, clearly there is a need to be able to operate and to show authority when necessary. But I have found that the light touch is actually the best, and I've had a relatively smooth passage. I haven't had long enough in the chair to be able to do all that I wished, but I think I've introduced some suggested amendments and proposals to our normal procedures. But in the House, from maybe initially people testing the boundaries, the Assembly has actually settled down quite a bit, and there's a very, very significant amount of legislation, for instance, that has been passed through this year, this mandate, more than any previous mandate. So I think that, everything, I think, is in a state of development, and the Assembly has now become much more sustainable, despite the tensions that can emerge between the parties, and I take some credit for that in terms of my role as Speaker.
Again, I'm racking my brains. Do you have to be from Derry to be a Speaker?
No, not necessarily at all, although clearly it's an advantage. Derry is a very special place, and I'm returning to Derry to do whatever, or to make whatever contribution I will make in the future.
Yeah, well, obviously, I refer obviously to Willie Hay as well. Were there other speakers that I'm forgetting about?
No, just Willie was the first, but there are other speakers. John Alderdice, Eileen Bell. So clearly,
the mists of time.
And John Gorman, going back to the preparations for government stage of the peace process. So yeah, we've had some very distinguished and interesting characters along the way, and I'm glad to be included in that company.
Okay, well, listen, a happy retirement. Thanks for speaking to us this
morning.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you again, Frank. It's been a long time. Take care.
Okay, Mitchell McLaughlin there.